Our promise of comfort and forgiveness this morning is taken from Psalm 2. God comforts us in His Word, but let us also hear this psalm in light of the events of the last week and the comfort that we have in Jesus Christ as Savior, Lord, and King. Psalm 2. Why do the nations conspire and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth take their stand, and the rulers gather together against the Lord and against His Anointed One. Let us break their chains, they say, and throw off their fetters. The one enthroned in heaven laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. Then He rebukes them in His anger and terrifies them in His wrath, saying, I have installed my king on Zion, my holy hill. I will proclaim the decree of the Lord. He said to me, you are my son. Today I have become your father. Ask of me, and I will make the nations your inheritance, the ends of the earth your possession. You will rule them with an iron scepter. You will dash them to pieces like pottery. Therefore, you kings, be wise. Be warned, you rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest He be angry and you be destroyed in your way, for His wrath can flare up in a moment. Blessed are all who take refuge in Him. For the congregation, arise and hear the good news. Brothers and sisters, all those united to Jesus Christ in baptism, clinging to Him by faith, and faithfully keeping covenant with Him, God Himself promises that Jesus Christ has suffered and tasted death for you, that you might follow Him unto victory, glory, and honor. Believe this and rejoice. Amen. Let us respond in joyful song. I've been told also that this hymn is hymn 73, God of Abraham Praise, is an unfamiliar hymn to some. So Karen's going to play a little more slowly, so we can all kind of stay together on this. So let us open our hymnal, hymn number 73. Let us sing together with joyful song unto the Lord our God. By His Spirit and His Word as living sacrifices unto Him. And He does this according to His revealed will in the Holy Scriptures. So let us hear and respond in faith to God's Word, that we may perfectly love Him and magnify His glorious name through Jesus Christ our Lord. God's will for life this morning is taken from Hebrews chapter 12, verses 18 to 29. Hebrews 12, 18 to 29. These are the words of God. You have not come to a mountain that can be touched and that is burning with fire, to darkness, gloom, and storm, to a trumpet blast, or to such a voice speaking words that those who heard it begged that no further word be spoken to them, because they could not bear what was commanded. If even an animal touches the mountain, it must be stoned. The sight was so terrifying that Moses said, I am trembling with fear. But you have come to Mount Zion, to the heavenly Jerusalem, the city of the living God. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all men, to the spirits of righteous men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. See to it that you do not refuse Him who speaks. If they did not escape when they refused Him who warned them on earth, how much less will we if we turn away from Him who warns us from heaven. At that time, his voice shook the earth. But now he has promised, once more, I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. The words once more indicate the removing of what can be shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us go to him now in prayer. Ask for the Spirit's blessing upon the reading and proclamation of his word. Will you pray with me? In you, O Lord, we take refuge. How then can you say to us, flee like a bird to your mountain? For look, the wicked bend their bows. They set their arrows against the strings to shoot from the shadows at the upright in heart. When the foundations are being destroyed, what can we, the righteous, do? Lord, you are in your holy temple. You are on your heavenly throne. You observe the sons of men. Your eyes examine them. You examine the righteous. But the wicked and those who love violence, your soul hates. On the wicked you will rain fiery coals and burning sulfur. A scorching wind will be their lot. For you, O Lord, are righteous. You love justice. Upright men will see your face. And now, O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our sermon text this morning is taken from Isaiah chapter 65, verses 17 to 25. Isaiah 65, 17 through 25. Behold, I will create new heavens and a new earth. The former things will not be remembered, nor will they come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I will create. For I will create Jerusalem to be a delight and its people a joy. I will rejoice over Jerusalem and take delight in my people. The sound of weeping and of crying will be heard in it no more. Never again will there be in it an infant who lives but a few days, or an old man who does not live out his years. He who dies at 100 will be thought a mere youth. He who fails to reach 100 will be considered accursed. They'll build houses and dwell in them. They will plant vineyards and eat their fruit. No longer will they build houses and others live in them, or plant and others eat. For as the days of a tree, so will be the days of my people. My chosen ones will long enjoy the works of their hands. They will not toil in vain or bear children doomed to misfortune. For they will be a people blessed by the Lord, they and their descendants with them. Before they call, I will answer. While they are still speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb will feed together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. But dust will be the serpent's food. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, says the Lord. May the Lord bless unto us this day the reading of his holy and infallible word. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, last Lord's Day, we heard from God's word the importance of how God uses suffering to bless his people, and how we as his people should respond to suffering in our lives. The faithful response to God's sovereign control is faithfulness. Faithfulness unto him. That's where we begin as his people. But God calls us to maturity. The Father called his Son to live faithfully and to grow into maturity unto perfection. Jesus grew through his obedience in the face of suffering. And this is the same call he places on all of us. Follow Jesus. Follow Jesus in everything, including suffering. Now, the Holy Spirit also testifies that our suffering is part of God's plan. To this, we should respond with joy. This is a wonderful foundational block of the Reformed faith revealed in Holy Scripture. God uses all things. God uses all things for the glorification of his name and for the building up of his kingdom. All things. The examples of this in Scripture are overwhelming. Philippians 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Ephesians 5, give thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. Why? Why rejoice and give thanks to all things? Romans 8:28. Boys and girls, anyone want to take a crack at Romans 8:28? For we know that God uses all things. He works all things for good, for those who love him and those who are called according to his purpose. With this in mind, the world around us can look very scary at times. Right? Especially in light of the events of last week in Paris, France. We may think that in the midst of that, or in the midst of what's going on around the world, the turmoil, the nations are conspiring, the kings of the earth are making their stand against the Lord and against his anointed, we have every reason, looking around us, to be pessimistic. But on the contrary, the word of the Lord exhorts us to rejoice. The word of the Lord exhorts us to praise God. The word of the Lord exhorts us to give thanks for all things. So our exhortation this morning is, don't get down. Don't be negative. Don't be pessimistic about what God's doing. Because the joy of the Lord is our strength. Our scripture passage this Lord's Day is from Isaiah 65. And in this passage, the prophet brings a word of comfort to God's people. In response to facing troubles in their lives, in their nation, seeing disobedience all around them. Can we relate to that? Seeing disobedience all around them. God brings comfort to the faithful. And this word of comfort to God's people is, in Isaiah 65, the promise of the new heavens and the new earth. This is not a message of grinning and bearing it, even with little bells in your hand, grinning and bearing it. This is a message of God's comforting and his redemptive plan for his people. Right off the bat, verse 17, God says, behold, I will create new heavens and new earth. The former things will not be remembered, the bad stuff, that will not be remembered, nor will they come to mind. This is the word of comfort. Verse 18, how should the people rejoice? Be glad and rejoice forever in what I will create. For I will create Jerusalem, which already existed at that time, but God promises New Jerusalem to be a delight and its people a joy. How should God's people respond? Rejoicing. And verse 19, even God rejoices. God says, I will rejoice over Jerusalem. I will take delight in my people. The sound of weeping and of crying will be heard in it no more. God rejoices. Even God rejoices in bringing about what He has promised His people. He says, you rejoice in my promises. You rejoice in what I will bring about. And in that, God says, I will rejoice too. The temptation for us is to think too little of what we see around us. Not think big enough about God's promises. We might expect something different. In our minds, what we believe God will bring about, we might expect something differently than He actually does. And this has been the case for God's people through the history of redemption. God promises one thing, and God's people expect it to come about in a different way than He actually brings it about. So let's pause there. I'll the kids come forward to talk more about this. You guys want to slide down a little bit closer so we're not so far away? Just slide a little bit. Come on, no. Don't go away. Come this way. There we go. Good job. I'm warm. How about you? You're cold. You just have to nestle up with your brother back in the pew when you go back. Can I see your eyes on me? Good job. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Who can raise their hand and tell me who made you? God. Raise your hand if God made you. Okay, hands down. Who can raise their hand and tell me, what else did God make? Lennox?
Love.
What else did God make?
Hearts.
Joyce? All living things. Hessel? The heavens and the earth. That Joyce's answer is kind of all-encompassing, so there's not much we can add to that. God made all things. Who can raise your hand and tell me who died for your sins? Jesus. Raise your hand if Jesus died for your sins. Good job. Okay, hands down. I want to talk this morning about what we expect. What we expect to happen. Can anyone raise their hand and tell us, what does expect mean? What does it mean to expect something? Hessel?
Know what's coming.
You know what's coming? Okay. You want to add on to that, Evan?
What you imagine is coming.
What you imagine coming. So know what's coming. Imagine. Do you have another verb for us?
What you think.
If you think is coming. Lennox, you add another one?
Obey.
Obey. Yeah, that's good. To obey. Very good. Okay. So something's coming. What we imagine what we're coming. We think what might be coming. We know what might be coming. Okay? Now, there are a lot of examples in the Bible of where God's people think one thing and God's plan is different. Who can raise their hand and tell me, what holiday do we celebrate in December? It's just a little over a month away. Emma? Christmas. Raise your hand if you're going to say Christmas. Okay. Good job. Hands down. Now, the wise men, the magi, we're coming to see a king in a stable. And who can raise their hand and tell me, what did they find instead of a king? I shouldn't say instead. What did they find in that?
A baby!
The Magi expected a king, and instead they found a baby. Now, thumbs up, thumbs down. Was that baby king? Yeah. But who expects a king to be a baby? So what they expected might have been different from what actually happened. Okay? I want to read two verses from Isaiah. This is from Isaiah 55. Verses 8 and 9. God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Who can raise their hand and tell us what that means? Give us a paraphrased version for the kids up here. You want to take a crack at it? God knows what's going to happen. Okay. You want to piggyback on that?
I forgot what I was
going to say. You forgot what you were going to say. Lennox, you want to add on to that? God loves us. Very good. Caleb, you want to add on to that?
It's not what we expect is going to happen.
What we expect might not necessarily happen, what we think is going to happen. But God's plan is better. And that's the key, boys and girls. Guys, can I see your eyes? God's plan is better. Ephesians says God brings about more than we can ever ask or imagine. So our plans might be grand, they might be great in our minds, but whose plans are better?
God.
Very good. All right? So we trust in Him, we trust in His plan. Okay? Will you fold your hands, pray with me, close your eyes, and please repeat after me. Father in heaven, thank you for making us and saving us in your Son, Jesus. Help us, Lord, by your Holy Spirit, to believe in you and to trust you in your plan. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. You guys can head back to your seats. So our expectations and God's plan. He promises us in His Word, and He's confirmed His promises and sealed them to us in His Son by His Spirit. But we are still called to be patient and to trust God. That's easier said than done for us because of our weakness of the flesh. But we still have to do it. We still have to be patient with God and trust His plan. How long did Abraham have to wait for Isaac? About 25, 30 years. How long did Moses and the Israelites wander in the wilderness before arriving in the promised land? Boys and girls, how long were they in the wilderness? 40. God's thoughts, His plan. His plan is not the same as ours. Things don't always work the way we want them to work or think they should work. They don't look the way we think they should look. Who wins a spiritual battle over all creation? Who wins that battle by dying? What kind of plan is that? Who expects that? Go ahead, who? Dean? God, Jesus. He is God and we are not. We are players in His redemptive story. Now for comfort, the prophet Isaiah described some aspects of the new heavens and the new earth. Verse 20. Never again will there be in the new heavens and new earth an infant who lives but a few days, or an old man who does not live out his years. Never again in the new heavens and the new earth will be there one who dies at 100. I'm sorry. He who dies at 100 will be thought a mere youth. He who fails to reach 100 will be considered a curse. Imagine, when you think of the new heavens and the new earth, your expectation of the new heavens and the new earth, how many of you expect people to die? All your hands should go up, because that's what God says happens in the new heavens and new earth. Never again will there be an infant who lives but a few days, or an old man who does not live out his years. In the new heavens and new earth, he who dies At 100 will be thought a mere youth. He who fails to reach 100 will be considered a curse. So our thoughts and God's thoughts. When we think about the new heavens and the new earth, what is our guide? Our expectations or what God's word says? Verse 21. They will build houses and dwell in them. They will plant vineyards and eat their fruit. No longer will they build houses and others live in them, or plant and others eat. For as the days of a tree, so will be the days of my people. My chosen ones will long enjoy the works of their hands. They will not toil in vain. When you think of the new heavens and the new earth, do you think we'll still be working? Do you think we'll still be toiling? How many expect that in the new heavens and the new earth? I do. Why? Because God's word says so. We have to align our thoughts with what He's revealed in His promises. But what we expect is often different than what He reveals, and that's the point. We expect something different than what He shows us. Verse 24, before they call, I will answer. While they are still speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb will feed together. The lion will eat straw like the ox. Dust will still be the serpent's food. The serpent will still eat dust in the new heavens and the earth. How many of us expect that? When we think about the comfort of the new heavens and new earth, what God reveals might not be what we expect. When Jesus Christ brought His kingdom, when He came to earth to take on flesh for His kingdom, He brought it in a way contrary to what Israel expected it to be, what Israel expected from the Messiah. Even the disciples didn't get it. John and James going to Jerusalem for Palm Sunday. Hey, Jesus, Messiah, when you establish your kingdom, can I sit on your right? My brother sit on your left? Jesus says, you don't get it. You're not getting it. What you're expecting is different from what I'm bringing about. Because this is how God works. Jesus, the Son of God, won victory by dying. Through His weakness, Jesus showed strength. He left His riches in heaven above to become poor so that we might become rich. And God shows His strength through the children. This is just backwards to what we might expect. Strength through children? But that's what He does. That's what He says in His Word. God defies our expectation. God calls us to greater, stronger, more mature faith. What we see might not match our expectations, where we start to doubt God's word. But He calls us to trust His promises. Now we look around us, we see like Friday in Paris, France, and the depravity of our culture around us, not only here, but in Europe. And we just see insanity. It's illogical, the wickedness, the horror. It seems that Western civilization around us is crumbling. So then we take our expectations to try to match what we see rather than what we hear and what we read. Do you know that the church is growing like wildfire in Asia, Africa, and South America? In 15 years, China is expected to be the largest Christian nation in the world. Praise God for that. And with the events of the last week, according to God's promises, Romans 8:28, He works all things for good. What do we expect to come out of the wickedness and horror of Paris? Do you think He'll use that for good? Now, in our order of worship this morning, we have three scripture passages that are meant to be comforting to us, God's people. Psalm 2, when the world is in turmoil, when you turn on the TV, you look at the news, you see the wars, you see the wickedness, you see the evil all around us, The nations are raging. What's God doing in heaven? He's laughing. He's scoffing at them. You think you're God, wicked people? You think you can reach up to heaven and get me? He says, I've set my king on Zion. And I've given him an iron scepter to rule over the nations. That's to be a word of comfort for us. Hebrews 12, we're told that we, the church, we have come to that heavenly city. We have come to New Jerusalem, the holy mountain, Mount Zion. We are there, and the Holy Spirit says that God is giving us an unshakable kingdom. Does it look like that? Does it look like that we have the kingdom? Maybe not to our eyes, maybe not to our expectations of what that looks like, but God's word tells us differently. Lastly, Isaiah 65, our Lord has begun his new creation. If anyone's in Christ, there's a new creation. A new Adam, a new birth, a new humanity in the church. Yes, as the new heavens and new earth have begun, people still die. But do people live longer today than they did 500 years ago? That's what Isaiah 65 says, that people will start to live longer and longer and longer. You farmers who drive tractors, would you rather drive a tractor today or 50 years ago? You get to sit inside now, right? And there's like air conditioning in it. And some are even fancy enough that you have GPS. Do you think they had that 50 years ago? Farmers from 50 years ago, did you have GPS? Farmers from 50 years ago, do you know what GPS is? Would you rather live today or 500 years ago? Would you rather live 500 years ago or 1,000 years ago? This is what Isaiah 65 says, is it's getting better. Does it get as better as fast as we may like? No. But the promises of God say that it is. So believe what you see or believe what you read in the Bible. And go forth, taking comfort in His Word, having a positive view on the work of the church and the gospel, spread of the gospel by the power of the Holy Spirit. And God grows us in that, in our faith and our trust in Him after the image of His Son, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let us pray.